This week on Not Just Another Sex Podcast.
The extent that we go to try and help someone heal something that we can't heal. You shared, that's how we met at dinner.
This young man, I really liked him. He had let me know that he was being, you know, molested. And I knew also that he was being abused physically. And I'm a fixer and a nurturer. And I'm a lover girl if I ever. Yeah. Listen, if I love you, your whole life is going to change. And so I would ride my bike, I think 1.5 miles, because he lived a mile and a half away. But you know, I ain't had no car. So I would ride my bike every time after he would get molested or, you know, when I knew like he was having a difficult time with his dad. I would ride my bike over there and sleep with him so that he could still feel like he was a man.
Hey, sugar. You're listening to Not Just Another Sex Podcast. I'm your host, Samaya Burton. I've been a hands-on sexual educator for over 5 years through my company, Sexual Essentials. So I can tell you that being an adult absolutely has its perks. But now let's talk about just how hard adulting really is. Whether you're healing trauma, building healthy relationships, or figuring out how to create your own happiness, the truth is you may feel like you don't know what you're doing, but you're here now, and that's enough.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Not Just Another Sex Podcast. My name is Samaya, and I am your host, and thank you so much for tuning in to another amazing episode. So before we get started, I have a review for you guys. So first and foremost, thank you everyone that has been hearing me and rating and reviewing the podcast. I say it all the time. I'm a person. I'm a real person making real content. Therefore, I have imposter syndrome and need to hear, you know, the words of encouragement and everything, just like everybody else. When you get up here and you're telling all your business, especially like your bad business and mistakes, you know, it could be a lot. So reading y'all's reviews and encouragement and things like that really does help to let me know I'm not up here embarrassing myself for no reason at all. So now the other side of that is that when you open the door for people to chime in, sometimes all of those things are not the best. So dun, dun, dun. I got my first 2-star review and I wanted to read it to you guys. Of course, I could have read a good one because I have a whole bunch of good ones, but I do think that bad reviews matter too. And I thought that this was an opportunity for you guys to just watch me self-reflect in real time. And I say that because this entire show has been about me helping you guys to use or understand or find out about a lot of the tools that I use to change my life. You guys know that my story is like, it's a little shitty sometimes, you know, like I have this background of like all this kid trauma and stuff like that and not knowing and like a lot of that fixing and healing and getting to this point. And I read you guys reviews, so I know how difficult it is to find like real happiness and shit like that. So I am an open book. This is a personal journal podcast. So with that being said, I don't think I can shy away from when you guys give me criticism, especially when it's not rude or disrespectful or anything of that. I think that the only way that I can encourage you guys and let you guys know that I'm really listening and that this show is here for you is to acknowledge both sides. So bear with me. All right. So today's review is from Chalk the Waxer and it says, share the spotlight, 2 stars. Ouch. So let me tell y'all, first of all, when I asked my producer what the bad review was, she had summarized it into 1 sentence. And then I had sat down for the episode and I read the full thing. And honey, I wish I had heard about it first because now I'm on here processing in front of y'all in real time. So it says, I really want to give 5 stars, but this one bad habit is sending me. Over-talking the guests. Samaya will ask a question and then talk incessantly. First of all, I just want y'all to know I had to look that word up, okay? Like, the vocabulary was on point. Hardly, if ever, giving the guests an opportunity to answer or chime in. We want to hear from them as well, especially when discussing their experiences or expertise. She brings on amazing thought leaders, but robs them of their chance to share their thoughts. The continuous over-talk makes the listening experience quite aggravating. Inviting impressive and influential guests to the podcast loses its value when their perspectives are drowned out by constant overtalk. It defeats the purpose of having diverse conversation. If dominating the conversation and being a verbal monopolist is your intent, then a solo podcast might be the most ideal platform. If not, please pass the verbal baton. I pray to see growth and that this is received with love. Looking forward to hearing a more balanced conversation.
Thank you for your vulnerability, transparency, and creating a safe place for taboo, uncomfortable, traumatic conversations, especially for Black women with a brown heart. So, today's adult tip of the day is about responding to criticism and just the conversation overall, because like inside, I really want to cry right now because I'm like embarrassed, right? But I think that the best thing I can do with y'all is really be honest, because sometimes you guys are hearing about like the tools that we use to heal way after. So some of the details be like, I don't know, they're summarized, like it's not in real time, so you can't really do the tools. And sometimes I'm the only light or the first entryway to certain things that some of you guys are listening to. So I do take that really seriously. So for me, these are the steps that I use when I get criticism. First of all, I do not react. I focus on just listening, because whatever the person does have to say, especially if I'm listening to them, is valid. No matter what, whether I agree, whether I disagree, it is valid. And the next thing I do, I ask myself, is it true? Hell yes, it's true. I apologize to people on this show all the time for cutting them off. Sometimes I say I apologize, sometimes I don't, and I just shut up because it's like, okay, you already talking, so I'm going to say more, add more to it and extend it. But also, I'm like that in real life. I cut people off in conversation all the time, and I always let them know, and I always say, hey, please don't hesitate to correct me or let me know I cut you off, because it's never my intent. So I always ask myself, is it true? But I also ask myself what parts of what the person is saying is not true, not necessarily to share with them, but for myself. And what I know what isn't true is all the things that I hear in my head after hearing criticism, which means, see, that's why you shouldn't have started that show. Now everybody knows your bad habits. Look at how you are. Like, everybody can see it. All the reasons that I thought that I shouldn't have a show, now someone else can see those bad habits. And that is very, very like exposing right now in the moment. And I always ask myself, what is the very first emotion that I felt? And the very first emotion that I felt was embarrassed. But being able to ask myself what isn't true helps, because what I know is I don't have to be embarrassed if it's not intentional. I don't have to be embarrassed if I'm a normal person. And I also ask myself, why is it embarrassing? For me, it's embarrassing because people are getting to see my flaws in real time. And also, I think the message was long as shit. I haven't had a good review that long. So, you know, I just dealt with my personal feelings on it. But I don't think one word of that was necessarily rude. I don't think it was rude at all. I don't think that it was a lie, any of that. I thank the person and let them know they're heard, which is thank you for leaving a review regardless. I have been asking you guys to leave reviews. That doesn't mean that I want you to lie. Like, if you think the show is 2 stars, then bitch, give me 2 stars. But I do know that if something is aggravating you, I will say, for me, is the show a 2, or do you not like that thing? You know, so, and if hearing people cut people off is like, this show is probably a 2 for you. But in the midst of all the things that come with the show, which is the look, the delivery, the outline, the guests, all of those things, is it a 2, or is it like, you know, I want to give it 5 stars, but I'm going to give it a 4 because this part can be better. Either way, I'm grateful that you left a review, because it does mean that you're listening. And I feel like when people put up boundaries or they give criticism, ultimately it's because they want to see you do better, or they want to stick around. And that's just the way that I think of it. I ask if they're opening to listening to anything that I have to say, if there's something that I want to explain. I don't get to ask you guys, and it is still my show. Yay. Luckily, it has not been taken away from me. So I'm going to share anyway, which is, you know, that is a very bad habit of mine. And I think that I've definitely gotten better. Unfortunately, I don't think you guys knew me when it was even worse. And that's just kind of where it's at. And then the last thing I do is I compliment myself and I remind myself what those bad traits are good for, or something that makes me do something that makes me feel better about myself that does not make me avoid accountability. So you can tell yourself something, but it shouldn't be something that helps you avoid like the blame or like the fault or accountability of what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, like I said, I agree. And regardless if someone gives you criticism and it's true, then it's just true. Like, You don't have to run from that. You don't have to be defensive. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be anything. I can sit here and say my feelings are hurt or that I'm embarrassed. Boom, that's it. So before this, I listened to some songs that I really liked. And I also told myself, at least I'm doing it anyway because I'm not perfect. And I could be in a point where I'm like, you know what? I need to do this better before I start. But I'm glad that I'm a person that is willing to do it, even though it's not flawless. It's definitely flawed. The entire process is flawed. We are an hour behind recording today. It's all flawed. But in spite of that, I'm still helping other people. And so that's what my process looks like for criticism. And it's not easy all the time, but I found that it does work. And if you're really trying to heal, you have to realize that everything that you do that needs to be healed is not always something that you can see. You know, and so you have to make sure that the people that you have around you, you can trust. So that way, when they give you criticism, you believe them. And one thing is, I trust my following. Like if you spent the time to say, hey, I want to leave a review and it's that long and it's not rude, then I think that truly does mean that you care. What I will implore you to do is hear this out. And baby, put me like a 3 or a 4. 2 was so low. I'm gonna work on it for real. But seriously, thank you so much for leaving that review because you did take a chance. I could have been like, bitch, fuck you and all of that. And that's not how I am. So I hope you guys can take this in stride and hopefully use this learning experience for me. But still, please rate and review. Also, I really don't need a message that long. That is what I will say. The last thing that I do when I receive criticism, if someone delivers me something that it's like, hey, I totally hear you. In the future, you can just, you know, I will say that. Just like the praise is not 3 paragraphs. I heard you when you say I cut people off. So like, if you're going to do that, please make sure you match the energy when you give the good reviews. Make them also that long. So in the future, I hear you. Alicia, that was hard. Alicia, that was hard. I have a guest, you guys.
Is this thing on? This is Good Moms Bad Choices, here to interrupt your regularly scheduled programming. You are cordially invited to our live tour, Confessions of a Good Mom.
Are you bored? Tired of those badass kids? Doing the same shit every weekend? Well, it's time to come to the judgment-free zone.
We're bringing our sold-out live show back on the road with surprise guests, musical performances, and a lot of naughty confessions.
Grab your hoochie gear, grab your girl, grab your man, because this is the perfect date night. Or hell, come find your tribe, get free, and have some fun.
And no, you don't gotta be a mama to kick it. So click the link in this episode description and join us in Philly on March 13th, DC March 14th, New York March 16th,
Atlanta April 21st, and Houston April 18th.
Click the link in this episode description and we'll see you there.
Hey y'all. I have an amazing episode for today, and I think that there was not a better review that I could have gotten today or in a better adult tip of the day than for it to be with you. You guys, this is Alicia Reese. She is one of the hosts of one of two hosts of the Triggered as Fuck podcast. Okay. So of course we have a great episode for you, but please introduce yourself to the guest today.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Alicia Reese. I am a transformation coach, co-host of the Triggered AF podcast with Danny Bordeaux, and I am all around a dope ass human.
I heard that. Say it. She is, you guys. I just met her. And y'all know I do not like strangers on the show. She is not a stranger. She is not a stranger.
Saying gospel together. We didn't turn up.
We did everything.
Okay. We didn't drink. We didn't tell each other our deep, dark secrets. So we family. Hey, girl.
Look here. Some of the folks walked out this room. They was like, oh, this is about to be one of those episodes. It is. If you're not ready to cry today, you know.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. It might.
But I do want to commend you for something.
I'm listening.
It's the fact that you were so willing to grow in public. Most people run from that. They don't understand Renaissance 2023 Beyonce is only because she was willing to sit through, grow, and learn through 2021 Beyonce. Like, the willingness to make a mistake, to fall down, to adjust, to pick yourself back up, to hear the criticism, because, too, a lot of people don't want to hear, oh, my God, I did something wrong. Like, yeah. Yo, it's cool. When a child is learning how to walk, they aren't perfect the first time. They fall down over and over and over and over again. And you don't beat the child because, oh, my God, why couldn't you walk straight the first time? It's like, nah, baby, go ahead. Get back up. You could do it. You could do it.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is being willing to, it's okay, baby. You could do it. You could do it. And I love that for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Look here, it's been a long road coming. And at this point, it's just like life has beat my ass to the point I don't have the energy to fight it. So it's like you can either walk through it politely, yeah, or either it's going to drag you through that shit out of the way.
Drag the hell out of you. Yeah. Screaming, kicking. That's what happens when you're a traumatized person.
Look here, this whole episode is about it. This whole episode is about it. Like, in real time, like, criticism is so difficult because you have no idea where it does stem from, like, yeah, whatever the person is saying. And so sometimes there's more behind the story than what people know. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, I like opportunities where I have a chance to prove that I'm about what the fuck I say I'm about. Because a lot of people are not going to take the opportunity. I'm not stupid. I know what I say on this show, you know, and I know that I'm talking about, like, people doing real things to get real results. You know, yeah, what I'm saying? And so when I have an opportunity, they didn't even know about it. I didn't have to say it. It's just like, let people know they are heard too, not just the, yeah, not just the good stuff. And see, y'all see, like, a beautiful say, y'all see the makeup. Like, those are the details that I enjoy as a person, but it's a lot of flaws within this show. It's a lot of learning that's happening in real time. Yeah. And I just think that my entire purpose with this content house, with Sexual Essentials, with this podcast, is about giving people the tools to create the life they truly desire. Yes. And without mistakes are the normal part. It's when the mistakes aren't there that's not normal.
And you're lying. You are lying to yourself and others. Not being willing to make a mistake, to fall down, to fuck it up, to try again. Yeah. When you're unwilling to do that, you literally put yourself in a position to where you will always lose.
Yeah.
No matter how good it looks, you're going to always lose because you are unwilling to hear the pieces and parts where you didn't do so good, where you didn't show up as mm-hmm. the person who you thought you were, where yeah. you did fuck that shit up. That's a thing. Yeah, so is. No, I love this for you and for me, Chad.
Look here, it's a good right. We got a good episode coming. So you know, you guys, with the adult tip of the day, like, I know that criticism can be difficult. I know in the last episode, I felt more timid than usual because I was already was implementing it because I had yeah. I saw the outline before we started tonight. So I mean, I think there's that, but at the end of the day, don't let that be a cripple. Like, don't let that cripple you. Like, those are just excuses, you know. Be better and go from there, you know?
And when you mess up again, be like, all right, my bad. I'm working on it. Yes. Next.
You know what I will say? Make sure that you're conscious when you're getting criticism for people that they like you. Mm. I will tell you that because I used to get criticized by my ex-husband all the time.
Me too. And he was a Virgo?
No.
Oh, my bad. Clearly, my trauma is still coming out.
Look at the videographer. Look at you. Like, what I did? I got caught in a crossfire. No, he was a Leo. But you know what it is? More than sign, he didn't like me. And I remember the first time I realized that my friends were my friends. It was like, oh, they like me. Because I was like very apologetic for some of the same things he was saying that I was doing. But they were like, it's okay. Like, it's not a deal breaker for me. And what I realized, yeah. like, having friends where the things where you lack or it's not your good suit, that I find friends and people around me that's not their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
That way I can have space to be the flawed person I am. I might cut people off when I'm talking to the day I die. Like, I might. But there are a lot of things that I actively work on. And I think just even yeah. the consciousness to apologize or say, you know, I'm absolutely working on it is the best. You know what I mean? You yeah. actively work but finding people to love you and be around you that understand that this is how you are regardless. It's just like when you marry somebody, you have to understand that this is who you are. You might not ever change. Listen. Now, that would be sad if you didn't. But
that would. But I do believe there is such value in making sure that the people who are giving you criticism and feedback, Nicolette Friedman, a really good friend of mine, works at IBM. She says feedback is a gift and you don't necessarily have to unwrap it, open it, and make it yours.
Mm.
Like, you get to decide, does this work for me? Yeah. Yes or nah? If yeah. not, okay, cool. And much like you, my ex-husband did not like me either. So I understand. And because he was a Virgo, he's also very, very critical. Mm, and so I could yeah. never do anything right. I yeah. couldn't change the baby right. I couldn't wash a dish right. I could barely cook right. Nothing I could ever do was correct. But with my friends, the way they received what my perceived flaws were is much like what you were saying, is it was received in love. And even when they had to correct me, it was, hey, I really don't like how you made me feel with that. Moving forward, can we please not do XYZ? And yeah. I thought the correction meant, oh no, they don't like me anymore. They're yeah. going to throw me away. They don't want to be friends anymore. And they were just like, girl, chill out. I just said I don't like that. We can move yeah. on.
That's it.
That's all it meant.
Absolutely. I definitely think that boundaries is a sign that someone wants you around for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, even with my friends, I realize some of the things that we do, we all know each other as well. I was like, one day we would run around the room and I was like, y'all laugh at me, but you do this, you do this, you do this. And we just all cracked up because it was all true. It's just their things aren't my things. The things that annoy them or bother them about them don't bother me. And you know what's so crazy? My favorite part about, and even when I criticize somebody else, an exercise that I do is I make sure that I always, one, I never let them hear exactly what I was thinking in rawest form. That's one.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Because no one deserves to hear exactly how you feel about them. Mm-hmm. Like, not in that way. I don't think everybody needs to hear every part of that. They don't.
No.
But two is I always make sure that I relate the things that they're bad at and talk about how it could be used for good. Because, like, I used to date a guy and I was like, he is so unorganized. And if you know me, I'm an organized, fun person. So I need structure and then it's going to be fun. And he was just always like,
just go with the flow.
Yeah,
chill out.
He was so flowy. And it was like, it made him almost like irresponsible a little bit. But he also worked with children. And children loved him. And it was just like, you know, there are all these adults that like me, I don't like watching kids because I'm like, I don't want to unkid a kid. And I'm like, I know that they don't want to draw lines that are the same length and the same. I know that's not what they want to do. And they don't want to color within the lines and put down plastic bags and then they don't want to do that shit. Like,
no, that's not in ministry.
No. And so it's like that thing that annoys you also makes them special in something else. You know what I'm saying? So just always remembering that make sure, you know, criticism is a double-edged sword. So make sure that you could take it and make sure that when you give it, you're being conscious of how you're giving it, especially if the person hears you, because they're probably going to believe you. So be weary of what you say, you know?
Absolutely.
But so that is the adult tip of the day. Adult tip of the day is like a little segment we do to put to make adulting a little bit easier in a few minutes, because, you know, we look up and we're the adults in the room. So we're supposed to be able to give the advice and give the guidance and how, I have no idea. But
I want to know who decided that I was supposed to be an adult and I'm supposed to watch out the people and make good sense and good decisions and make money. Who said that this is
and
what
sleep.
I was, listen, and sleep and have fun and have sex and be a good friend and be a good employee and be great at all of,
Yeah. Mm-mm. So we give you the adult tip of the day to help every time.
Because we need that.
But we always need some of the other side too. So we have Twitter Talk as well, which is our next segment. And that's where we pay homage to just the culture, like the Black culture, just because, you know, Twitter, even though it's not even called Twitter, it's still Black Twitter, which is every topic is a topic, but it's like, who said it? Twitter or like Black Twitter? Everything, you know.
Is this a difference?
Yes, there is. And so today's tweet came from Dr. Ashley Solomon, and it said, "The biggest lesson I've learned as a psychologist, the story behind the behavior you don't like will almost always break your heart."
Hoocha.
So I thought that you would be a great person to discuss this with. I thought that we could name a couple of the things that we do that are odd, that come from our trauma. And you guys were going to get into this story. Alicia has such an amazing, impactful story. But it's just so crazy because all these little things popped up when I was planning your episode. So one of mine is I watch the same thing over and over and over and over because I get really bad anxiety when I don't know What's gonna happen next?
Oh, I can see that. I always ask. So I'm a little different in that I won't necessarily watch it over and over again, but I will constantly ask people what's going to happen because the anxiousness of not knowing who's gonna die, who's gonna get married, who's gonna grow up and be together still. Like, I really be like irritated. Like, WTF, if I'm watching a Netflix or a Hulu, I always Google, what happened? I can't watch it in real time because I get pissed off having to wait. So I will Google what happened. This one show had like 7 seasons. Do you know I Googled each of the seasons so that I could know what was going to happen and then I would still sit through and watch it?
There
might be something wrong with me.
I do that. I definitely did that. I did not watch Grey's Anatomy for the longest and then when I did stop watching it, like I was hurting. Like my heart was actually hurting. Like when, I don't know if y'all haven't watched, spoiler alert, like when George died, like I thought like I was grieving.
So it felt like it was my man. I don't know this man.
I read books from the end. I start at the end and then I go to the beginning. Also, another one that I do is, it's weird, but before school every day, I would watch one of two movies growing up. It would either be What's Love Got to Do with It or The Color Purple.
Because you like trauma. You needed to feel you know what?
It's so... It's so comfortable to watch the movie. Like, I don't flinch or anything. Like, and it's so crazy because it's like my producer, she came for the weekend to, you know, like we record or whatever. And we got done and we was like, okay, we're going to watch something to relax. And I was like, oh, let's watch Tyler. She's like, no.
That's not relaxing, ma'am.
And I was like, but it, because to me, it's like I live in my own pain, like my own. I'm always swimming in my own thing. Yeah. So like hearing somebody else's thing is always lighter than my thing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Like there was this guy I was dating and he was just like, you're too heavy. And I couldn't understand. I was like, I'm a buck 20 on a good day. Fuck you mean? And he was just like, no, like you've been through so much. He's like, I can't handle that. Mm. And I instantly felt really shitty. I was like, damn. How do I not wear my traumas, or how do I not tell so much of what has happened to me so that people will accept me more? And then I was just like, you know what? No, that just wasn't his ministry. He has a pint-sized ability to accept what I've experienced, but I'm going to need, for what I have gone through in my life, I'm going to need somebody who has the capacity of a gallon. Because me pouring my gallon into his pint, I will always flood him.
Yeah,
he will be about to drown in my experience. And that's not fair to him. Yeah. He wasn't saying that I was a bad person. He was saying the level of shit that you have dealt with is not something that I have the capacity to contain or maintain or even deal with. So I'm good, love and joy. And that's not a bad thing.
I agree.
And getting to that point for me, though, mentally, bruh.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're the problem. Yeah. One of the things I really do, and it's so... It's always like threefold, just continuously when I dive into like even my sexuality and being me relating in a polyamorous like way. I have to date multiple people, or I also need so many things. Mm. There's always someone who thinks that they're enough. And I'm like, it has nothing to do with you. It's I have a lifetime of these things, and there's rarely one person that can hold it all. And I don't expect anyone to. Yeah. You know, and so like the things that I need, I understand I need a lot. Like I tell people all the time, I have to be well off because the cost that it is to maintain my well-being, my mental, and not murk motherfuckers like every single day to keep my shit straight, like to not be on like
first 48 and snapped.
You know, because it's so many inner demons that come along with seeing the boogeyman. Like if you've seen the boogeyman, like you're never the same. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just, even this conversation is more comforting than triggering. Scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I like to talk about the things that I've been through, and maybe I do like to tell my business a little bit too much, but here's my thing. And me telling you what I've experienced, you get to say, oh, my shit not that bad. Oh, I can make it through this. Or, oh, I'm not alone. And no, everyone is not meant to grow and live in the public eye. Everyone is not meant to do that. But for those who are charged with that, who that's a part of your purpose and a part of your innate mission, figure out a way to work and heal on yourself so you're not bleeding on the folks. Mm-hmm. But also become so comfortable in sharing your truth and what the situation was for you and what your experiences were, that in sharing, you heal other people. I am absolutely so aware of the fact that me sharing my story, it heals other people. I'm so cool with what we're discussing, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, I don't want to go in your business. Girl, I share my business anyway. What's up? What's happening? What are we talking about?
Absolutely. I absolutely resonate with that. Getting into your story and the Triggered as Fuck podcast and all those things. She's like, where do we want
to
start?
You see, I had to breathe.
Like, I know it. I know it. I don't want to leave like the listeners in the dark, because it's like, it's so much of our conversation that is just relatable to each other. Yeah. So I don't want them like, okay, but what the fuck has happened? So let's, let's maybe just bring start them off in with, why you're uniquely qualified for this podcast. Maybe give them a synopsis of, you know, your story and Yeah.
Ooh, synopsis. Okay, very, very long story short. I grew up in a pseudo cult, super religious. We were not allowed to date, talk to boys, wear pants, went to church every day, 7 days a week. I will not name the exact time frames, but just know I'm so serious when I say 7 days a week. In that particular religion, there was a lot of abuse, from financial abuse, pedophilia, physical abuse. I endured much of it, because I was, you know, the oldest. Luckily I was not, sexually assaulted until much later in life. We grew up extremely impoverished. I mean, really, really poor. Went an entire year without running water in our home, 6 months without electricity. My mother lost her mind when I was 8 years old, and I had to figure it the fuck out. My first business was started at 12 because I was so tired of being hungry and not having enough and having siblings who would look at me like, hey, yo, what we gonna eat? And so for me, having such a traumatic childhood, even my introduction into sex was kind of traumatizing. So it got to the point to where, like, sex for me, I would be completely disconnected. It meant nothing. It was just as easy as shaking a hand. Like, that's what it was for me. So there was so much trauma that I had to work through, had to learn to forgive, that now I take my experiences, and instead of taking them and using them as the excuse as to why I won't go after what I really want or why I can't have what I say I desire, I use that as, this is fuel. Yeah. That's all this is.
I think there's so much. I think they're like the roots. It's like the roots or the wires, rather. You know how, like, if when your necklace is tied up, or like you got wires all, you're like, dang, which one goes to which? Yeah. I think that's really what the trauma is. And I swim around in that. I'm always looking to see where that cord leads, or like unraveling like a necklace that's tied up three chains. And it's like, how do I get it out? I'm kind of like, you have to lose the frustration.
Yes.
Once you lose the frustration, you can understand that the traumas are still wired somewhere, that every feeling you feel, all it is emotions, but it is an overload of emotions. But still, every emotion tells you something, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and so just understanding that some of the things that it leads you back to, though, you find out are not your fault, or that you understand, oh, this was done incorrectly. Or I think that realization that a crime has been committed against you, and for years you didn't even know, or you allowed it, or, you know, so many things. And you're like, wait, people are in jail for this? And I think just setting in, and then I think that level of it being someone that you care about, or being parents is really the part. Because the thing is, you know, people live these lives where the abuse happens as a child or in the home. And then you can also be out of that and still be traumatized by something else, or be sexually assaulted somewhere else. But dealing with that when it comes from someone you're not scared of, or that you have empathy for, I think is the confusing part. Because at the end of the day, it's like being raised a robber and then someone telling you one day you're going to jail. You're like, no, my mom and dad taught me how to rob.
Exactly.
This is how you rob. Yeah. I'm a good robber, like they taught me
to be. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And it's too. So like my mom, we had a conversation. I was definitely an adult at the time. And I just told her like what it was growing up with a mother like her, like how abusive she was and how violent she was with me. I told her, I was like, you know, I felt you hated me because you were so violent with me. It's like you wanted to like squish me and squash me and put me into this little box that you could carry around. And I have a very, like, I'm a bull. Yeah. So I'm stubborn as a motherfucker. And so my spirit refused to comply. And I told her, I was like, you know, once, because I had fought a teacher, don't judge me, it's always the little ones. I had fought this teacher, but only because she hit me first. I would never start a fight, but I was going to damn sure finish it. And I may not win, but I was going to show trial. I was going to give it my earnest, honest effort. And I got in trouble, and the school was like, oh, well, we're going to expel you. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But if you expel me, just know that I'm going to call HRS and let them know that y'all whooping on children. And in the state of Florida, that's illegal. So that means everybody going to jail. So you let me know what you want to do. Mind you, I was like 14, 15. I didn't have a smart mouth all my life. So they were like, okay, well, we're not going to expel you. We're just going to suspend you. Because they knew I was like, I've had this flip mouth for forever. And so my mom took me home and she beat me and gave me 100 licks. And I was so infuriated and angry with her because I was like, so you're just never going to protect me, huh? Mm-hmm. And I just stood there while she hit me. I didn't flinch. I didn't cry. She said later when we had a conversation, she was like, I knew then that breaking you was not going to be something I would ever be able to do.
Yeah.
Because I was so angry with her. And I told her later, once I became an adult, I was like, you never felt the need to protect me. And I didn't understand why.
I have no idea what it feels like to be protected by like an adult or someone else.
Yeah.
I have been getting a better relationship with protecting myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely have my parents. I distinctly remember when I stopped trying to, I had to learn like doing what's right in front of them always wasn't going to work, because only right that was right was what they were doing. And so like right wasn't right and wrong wasn't wrong. It was just whatever they were doing was always going to be right.
Yeah.
And I remember once like my sister was like in the kitchen, she got in trouble, but I was the closest to my mom and she slapped the shit out of me. And so like for me though, I'm a very integrity person, right? Like, so that part is black and white for me. I did not do anything wrong. Why the hell did you slap shit out of me? Right.
Yeah.
And so I ran away. And so I knew how to blend in like really well. Period. I've done it well all my life. Like you can't tell if I'm happy or sad or what. Like now you can, because I don't allow myself to mask that. I allow myself to tell the truth.
Yeah.
But before they didn't know. So we went on the rest of the night with nothing wrong. And I took my allowance and I caught a cab to my grandmother's house. And so I was telling her what was going on and like how they were treating me and things like that. And so the next day she took me to the mall. We hung out for the day and then she took me home. And when she stayed there for a while, like just to kind of like see what my mom would do.
Feel the vibes.
Yes, feel the vibes. But you know, my mom never really gave a fuck, to be honest. And when my grandma left, like I got on punishment for like 6 weeks because I ran away because she slapped shit out of me. Like when when my siblings would get a whooping, like we had to hold them down. Like, you know, like it, like what's crazy is that DCF came to our house like multiple times and I would tell them the truth.
Yeah.
But the way in which I had mended well with the truth, it caused no concerns.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I was so good at protecting them, like so good at faking it. Like even with, you know, when you talk about poverty, what's crazy is that we did not grow up impoverished, but I grew up poor. Like my parents, they weren't rich, but they absolutely had money.
Yeah.
But when they were upset at us, they would take away food. And so I had a really bad relationship with overeating because it was like,
I don't know, next time I'm going to get this good food. I got to
every time
eat it all now.
Absolutely. And so I do believe that when people are on this journey of trying to figure it out, how do they be happy? Because ultimately healing is realizing that I'm not actually happy. Something is wrong, but you don't know what's wrong. And you're not exactly sure where you're going or what feeling means that you've gotten there. And then also when life looks normal and there isn't any like volcanoes going off, you can't tell. So you feel crazy on inside because you're like, everything looks okay. But inside, like I'm dying and I don't know why.
Yes.
You know? And so there's that. And what I want to say is that whatever you don't like about yourself, if you start there. So for me, I thought I was too big. I'm 5'3". So a lot is too big for me. You know, it don't take much. I'm only 5'3". So I just worked on my weight.
Yeah.
But working on my weight, and if you really work on something and you work on having a better relationship with it.
Yeah.
It kind of starts fixing itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I say it's teaching yourself how to play again, because once you become an adult, you're not supposed to play. You got to be serious because you got to make this money. If you got kids, you got to take care of the kids. You have to serve in all these roles and positions and everything else. And for me, it starts with playing. Well, after I first identified, okay, what is it? Because I too believe you should start with what you don't like, because it's so much easier to figure out. It's hard as hell to figure out what you do like.
Yeah.
So figuring out what you don't like and then start to play with it. Like for me, I thought I was ugly. I know, wild.
It's wild.
But I thought I was ugly and I felt like I was not creative at all. I had nothing to offer the world. That's some wild shit.
That's some wild shit. If you know you now.
I hated every part of me. I hated my toes. I hated my hands because I felt like they looked like grandma hands. I hated my skin complexion. I hated my name. I hated every piece and part of myself. And so once I became an adult, I said, well, let me just start to play, to figure out all the things I don't like. Let me just find one or two things that I do like. So I enrolled into ballet because I always wanted to take it, but my parents could never afford it. So I enrolled into ballet. Then I got me some therapy because I was like, okay, I feel like it's a dumpster fire going on inside my mind. Yeah. What is it? I started to explore with like different partners and dating, you know, different types of men. And then I started to have conversations with the therapy, with me playing, with me exploring. I started having conversations with, you know, the people who had raised me and the people who I was raised around to say, hey, this is how it made me feel. And then when my mother talked to me and I told her, I was like, you know, I felt like you never protected me. She was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to. She's like, my mother never protected me.
Yeah.
And then I was able to, and not everyone will be able to have that conversation and get closure or healing or anything. But when she expressed to me why she never saw the need to say I love you or to hug me or to make me feel like I was safe, I could understand. It didn't absolve what had happened, but I could understand how she too was just a broken person trying to raise a human who was as defiant as I was. I got it.
What was your, what do you think was your biggest trigger moment when it comes to just even out of the name of the podcast, Triggered as Fuck? For me, I know that my triggering moment that really set me into like a healing motion, like this was an everyday thing, like I had woken up, mm-hmm. was having my child. Mm-hmm. Or do you think you had one, or what does that realization look like for you?
I've had many, but the most, the one that literally completely changed my life, because like I said, I hated every part of me. Even in college, like I said, I felt like I had no value. Like I was just going along to get along. Mm-hmm. And so I had gotten married. I had a daughter at this point. She was like 2 years old. My ex-husband used to say he wanted our child to be like anybody but me. On a consistent basis, he had brought home divorce papers and he sat them on the edge of the counter so that every day when I came down to cook, I would see the divorce papers sitting on the counter. Like that man would torture me. It was psychological, like warfare in my house. Yeah. And he would, you know, say all these things like, oh, I was a whore. I was this, I was that, just all these things. And at some point, I started to believe him, because if you hear something long enough, yeah. be it good, bad, or indifferent, you will believe that shit after a while. You're like, well, maybe I am not such a good person. Mind you, he was the one who was cheating. I wasn't even cheating yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm going to get my lick back.
Give me time to wake up and realize what's going on.
Give me some time. I'm going to get my lick back. So he would tell me every day that, you know, I wasn't worth anything. I had graduated with my master's degree with a newborn, working like 40 hours a week, gotten promoted like, I think at that point, like 3 times in a year. We had just moved into this brand new house. I was making more money than my mother had ever seen. All these things. And I literally felt like I was dying. And I just woke up one day and I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done with this whole life shit.
No.
I'm not creative. No. I have no value. There's nothing really that I'm here on earth to do. My daughter really is, you know, better off with me being dead. I knew I had a $500,000 life insurance policy. And I also knew I had totaled like a number of cars. We're not going to talk about how many, but it's over 3.
It's enough.
I had totaled a number of cars. So I knew like if I took myself out in a car accident, the insurance company would pay out. Mm. So I had planned to take my life January 2013. It's also one of the reasons why I make sure I celebrate every birthday in big fashion, because I was not supposed to be here after January 2013. I was the fuck done with life. I went home to my hometown to where my mother still was living at the time, because I knew she had lost her mind when she lost her first child. That is why I had to grow up so quickly. It's why we had experienced so much pain. One of the reasons why we had experienced so much pain growing up when she lost her son. So I was like, yeah, let me make sure I give her some real happy memories. So I did all the things that she loves that I hate. I went to the Goodwill with her. Y'all, I'm sorry, I grew up poor, so I am not your thrifting girl. Y'all can keep it. I went to church with her. I did all these things so that I could give her really great memories. One of the nights I was sitting in a church service with her, wandering, not even paying attention. But there was a girl who walked in who looked on the outside how I felt on the inside. On the outside, I looked good as fuck. I had a great job. My ex-husband was fine as frog hair. I mean, fine.
Get off my phone.
He was fine. Listen, I had a brand new home, luxury vehicles, nice clothes. Like, I'm living my best life. But I felt like I was slowly dying every day I woke up. I would cry that I woke up. Saw her and I asked her after the service. I was like, hey, can I help you? And she looked at me like, girl, what? And I was like, listen, you're not my type. Even if I was gay, you wouldn't be the person I would choose. And so she chuckled and she was like, okay, well, what you want? I was like, well, I work as a project manager in corporate America. So I'm really, really good at taking an idea from your head and putting it in your hand. If you let me, I would love to help you figure your life out. She was like, well, all right. Man, I don't know what I do know what happened. She introduced me to purpose, and purpose helped to save my life. Naomi, that night when she said, yes, I can help her, I literally created an entire program to help her. And in 6 months, we were partnered with the largest foster care agency in the state, because she was a foster care kid who had aged out. And she too was in an abusive, you know, relationship, had two children, just all these terrible things. In 6 months doing the program, we had her with a high school diploma, a job. She had figured out what she wanted her life and career to look like. So by the time January came around, I was like, shit, well, I can't take my life now, because then God gonna get up to heaven and God gonna be like, I had you on assignment. You ain't finished.
Yeah.
And so she saved my life. For me, that was the triggering moment, me deciding to kill myself. It really was kind of like God was like, okay, babe, I was waiting for you. Come on, let's fucking go. Let's activate. And he activated purpose in me deciding I was done.
Love that. I love that. It's just so crazy because I understand the feeling when something works.
Yeah.
And you think that it's fixing something. You think that it's looking better or feeling better or fixing a flaw in you. You think that's what it is. But really, you really be the same person, but you're doing what you're supposed to do. So now your flaws are helping you and they're making you uniquely qualified for whatever it is that your purpose is, your traumas, your flaws, and all of you. And so I really do resonate with that, because December 24th, I tried to drink myself out. I believe that was 2019. It was right before COVID. Yeah. It was at the moment where I cut off my parents. I had found out that I was blaming myself for finding out that there was other things going on out, you know, and I felt like if I had told years ago, you know, and I took
this
on that
other
guilt,
thing wouldn't have happened.
Yes. Yeah. And so it felt like I was a catalyst for that. And it was too heavy. I felt too broken. My husband had just left the month before. And, you know, I just told him all of my truth. I told him all the things. I told him every single thing that happened to me, because I was on a new, you know, like a new lust for life. And I was like, I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to live it fully. And I told him my truth. And then the next day was like, I'm out.
Kind of like that dude told me. He's like, oh, no, this is too much.
And that wasn't it though. I will say that he was like, that's not it. I'm just not happy with you, which I knew was true. But I think just living in that truth, it was too much. And it felt, I knew that it was going to take too much work for me to be happy. And I went out. I don't even know how I got home. I have no idea how I got home. And I found a card. I found a card from the bar, and it was like, I hope you're going to be okay. Like, it was like, and I remember I went and I sat. First of all, I understand now why the bars are open on the holidays. I'm very clear. Yeah. And these two old ass white guys just stayed with me the whole night. I'm assuming they sent me home or something, but they could have went a whole nother way.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I don't want to be here, and I'm too pussy to like slice some shit. So I'm just drink it away. Like, yeah. At one point during COVID, my liver was hurting. Like, it was hurting from the inside. And I was like, and when I felt the pain though, I was like, I ain't really with that shit. So I was like, I got to figure out something else. And, you know, Sexual Essentials was that for me for a long time. It was an outlet. Yeah. It was, you know, it's just like watching What's Love Got to Do with It? Like, pain is something I can relate to.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, you know, sex was a way that I was comfortable with letting the healing in. And so I started with that. And then it's so crazy because now I'm in production and it's fulfilling me in a way that I thought that Sexual Essentials was everything. But what this does is so rich. And so it helps me put people like you, these stars, these survivors, these people with a story, their purpose, and it gives them a place to trust someone else to deliver it because you guys are too busy. You guys are already doing everything. You guys are already mothers and you're already all the things, and the level of empathy that I have, you know what I mean? I feel like if I touch it, I feel it. I can't commit to it if I can't connect to it.
Yes, and that's so, what.
I can't. I can't.
And so, I can't fake the funk.
I can't fake the funk. And so, if I love something,
I adore it. Yeah,
I adore it. And if I don't like something, I don't like it at all.
I understand. But, it's why no matter how much I love you, if the sex is bad, I'm done.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not doing that. We gotta find.
But I'm done. No,
I'm not doing that. You looking at me? I'm on your side. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna fight you on that one.
It is finished.
But, you know, for me, it's giving people platforms to do what the fuck they're supposed to do, because a lot of people have their purpose and they can't get it out, or they can't reach the people, or the healing is not set in rotation because they got to do everything themselves. And so they come here and I give them the self-care within their purpose, which is like, you're shooting your show and we're waiting on you, not hand and foot like we some peasants, but hand and foot like we're here to support you. And, you know, like the level of hospitality and production and like bringing back the humanity to entertainment. And
yes,
I'm not producing it if it's not real. Like, this isn't your story. This isn't a story. Like, what, like, if there's not the real in it, I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. But you can tell too, just from the energy when you walk in, like, this some different shit, and not in a bad way, in the best way, because it's so thoughtful and intentional. And I'm like you, I be feeling so deeply, which is why I used to take criticism to the core, like, oh my God, I'm the worst. And it's like, relax.
Yeah, relax, bitch.
Calm down. Calm down. It's okay. But no, this is ministry. Like, it's ministry where I'm going to have a drink for the both of us.
Yes, drink for me.
This ain't the drink today, but I'm going to have a drink after I eat me a little something. But no, it's a form of ministry, and it allows you to tap into all sides. Because again, for so many people, they feel like, oh, I can only be this one thing, or I can only have these one or two dimensions. No, I am, what am I? A hexagon? It's a whole lot of motherfucking sides to me.
Yeah.
I want to explore them all. And giving and allowing the space for that. Because just like how honestly I connect with trauma because I understand it so well. I done been through so fucking much. But what I also, what I also wanted to do was learn how to connect to joy and figure out what does joy look like in spite of all the traumas I've experienced. And that, what you were talking about earlier around figuring out how do I create happiness for myself when I have been so traumatized, when the people who were supposed to take care of me did not, when I've had to do things that went against what I knew was right, no matter what was happening, like that, the situation when you were talking about how had you said something, other people would have been saved. I felt that same way because I knew that the leader of the church that I was a part of, I knew that he had an issue and he had been, you know, bothering young men since I was 15 years old, and I never said a thing.
You know what's crazy is that the extent that we go to try and help someone heal something that we can't heal. You shared, that's how we met at dinner.
That is how we met.
Go ahead.
Listen, because y'all, my co-host says I be oversharing and I can't help it, okay? I don't be sharing, you know, names and places of other people's business, but I do be sharing mine. But no, when I was 15, this young man, I really liked him. And I made him court me for a year before we dated. And when we were 15, he had let me know that he was being, you know, molested. And I knew also that he was being abused physically by the person who was supposed to protect him too, which was his dad. And I'm a fixer and a nurturer and I'm a lover girl if I ever. Yeah. Listen, if I love you, your whole life is going to change.
Talk about it.
Listen, I'm really a lover girl. And so I would ride my bike, well, I think 1.5 miles because he lived a mile and a half away. But, you know, I ain't had no car. So I would ride my bike every time after he would get molested or, you know, when I knew like he was having a difficult time with his dad, I would ride my bike over there and sleep with him so that he could still feel like he was a man, because it mattered so much to me that he knew, hey, although no, we can't control this situation because it is what it is, I still want to love you to make you feel whole. I want you to know like somebody cares for you. I was at his house one night and his dad beat the shit out of him. And after he came back into the room, like he had all these webs and stuff on his back. And I just loved him. I tried to literally take his pain and love him to like heal it. Like it mattered so much to me. And I felt so bad because I never said anything about any of the things, about none of the abuse. And I knew that because I didn't say anything, there were more young men who were molested. Yeah. There were more young people who also got beat, like how I had gotten beat growing up in that environment. And for years, I literally felt like I was aiding and abetting. Mm.
And of course, that's not your fault. And I know you know that.
Yeah.
I know you know that. But I would like to segue into the sex tip of the day. Mm. And ironically, well, the sex tip of the day is to pay homage to my first business, Sexual Essentials, because it has done so much for me and changed so much in me. And, yeah, you know, sex being the avenue for my healing. And so I would like to know, because women do try to fix so many people and we hold so much pain as well as our own and things like that, how your trauma has, or rather we know that trauma manifests itself in our sex lives. And so a lot of women are not actually present or enjoying sex, or they're desensitized and they swear it's the rose that's doing it. But you can't feel when somebody touches your shoulder, really. You can't feel, you know, on the back of your neck. You don't even realize that you're not sensitive in places that you're supposed to be because your body is hardened. Like when you think about it, you go to the gynecologist and for some reason, like it's awkward, but you don't necessarily except how awkward it is because it's normal. Yeah. You know, like our bodies are hardened. Yeah. And so with that being said, and of course you having your background and trauma and things like that, what does sex look like for you now in this space of you're aware, you're equipped, you're gorgeous. So what does that look like?
Now it's choice. Mm-hmm. I never used to actually choose. And I know people will say all day long, oh, were you supposed to know? Like, I didn't choose to sleep with a lot of the people I slept with. I felt like it was my obligation and like I had to, or it was the expectation because I had nothing better to do, or, oh, they gave me this. So then, okay, I have to repay them in sex. And for the perfect patties, they will say, well, oh, she's stupid or she's dumb. Why didn't you know that? And it's because growing up, it was not a choice. You just did it because it was the expectation. And so for me now, sex is a choice that I freely make, that I use my voice to express what works and what doesn't. If I don't like something, I'm going to let you know. It's choice and freedom.
Yeah.
And that to me is so dope because it helps me to ensure that I am fully expressed in all the ways.
I love that for you. You guys, make sure that you check out Patreon. It does have almost 300 classes, videos, workshops, conversations around sex as a whole and a lot of my teachings from Sexual Essentials. And there are so many things on there that I really love, like just even like the masturbating and manifesting and like the just speaking life into yourself. I think that the masturbation and manifestation course on there is one of my favorites, as well as the words of affirmation, like sex playlist. Those are two that are my favorite because when you grow up or you're not hearing the things that you want to hear or need to hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, trauma is what happens when you something is broken and it mends incorrectly. It's not healed properly. It's okay if you break a bone, but if you don't wrap it, set it, you know, I mean, let it heal properly, then it's going to be worse. It's going to scar, you know, it's going to be a mess.
You'll be in pain for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And with us and the trauma that we have, like it's when something happened at a, like at a vulnerable moment, like something was broken in a vulnerable moment and then it wasn't healed properly. And so I like to do the opposite, which is in a vulnerable moment of pleasure. I'm open, right?
Yes.
I'm open and I'm pleasurable, but I put positive things in at that time. And so I heal much faster, I believe, than most people. Like it has only been six years, right? It has only been 6 years since I really found out, that my life was just really fucked up, you know? It took about 6 years. And so this has been 6 years of this, you guys. 6 years since I started Sexual Essentials and now having the content house and having this production company. You guys, that is 6 years. Like 6 years ago, I was married. I was in a job I didn't like. I was 40 pounds bigger than this. It's not to shade on the weight. It's saying that wasn't my weight, though. That wasn't
That was the hurt, the pain, the depression, the sadness, the shame, the just the frustrations. That was all of that.
It was unhappiness.
Yes. Disgust, even. Like, I was so disgusted with me. That's also, too, why a lot of women don't actually tap in and enjoy sex. Because, like you were saying, you can't feel. Like, it's... If you can take the time to just touch your nerve endings, to take your hands and trace, like... Your knee is such, oh my God, if you just rub on your knee, and I'm so sorry, I'm definitely doing this while I'm talking.
Don't apologize on here.
But like, if you can just touch yourself to see where you feel, where you don't feel, and then ask it, what can I do for you? How can I serve you?
Yeah.
What do you need? And even too, when you're, you know, practicing or playing with a partner, asking them that or having them ask you, it allows you to become present and to tap in, especially, girl, when you talking some masturbating and manifesting,
look
baby.
Here.
Get to them, that's look, my shit.
Look here, my first business was $1 million business and I created it in 27 days and I masturbated every single day. 28 days, 27 days, one of those.
One of the 20s.
And I masturbated and manifested. And I wrote down a list of everything I wanted to see from it. And I masturbated to that list every single day. And so just finding pleasure from the work, you know, and I feel like that's why I'm a little crazy on the inside. Like, I feel like all creatives are a little crazy on the inside. Like all these entrepreneurs, because like you have to fall in love and make love to that the work of it all.
And the process, because the process isn't pretty, so you got to love it.
Not at all.
To keep showing the fuck up, because it's not pretty. Yeah.
But with that being said, we have our spiritual tip of the day, which that leads us to, which is we kind of got into it. But the spiritual tip of the day is just a bite-sized piece of spirituality and breaking it down, because a lot of people talk shit about it. Because, of course, on mainstream, you're hearing people say certain things that you don't understand, or people are diving into the wrong parts of like astrology and, you know, using it to be like, oh, no, girl, you know, I do that because I'm a Gemini or whatever or whatever. And it's like, it makes people have a disdain for it when really there are so many tools that lie in spirituality that can encompass religion and so many other things. But the spiritual tip of the day was about affirmations and creating some. And I know it can seem really cheesy, but I just want you to maybe take a different look at it, which is when you talk to yourself crazy, just understand that you just need new vocabulary words. Sometimes you just need to find new verbiage. And so you have to expand your vocabulary or, you know, find more positive words. And sometimes you need to plan what those things are because you're not used to saying those types of things to yourself. Yeah. Or even if you are, maybe you haven't really heard bad things, but you're still not hearing the thing you need to hear. Mm-hmm. Create the thing you need to hear. And that's what affirmations are going to do for you. But I know that in moments of criticism, kind of going back to the beginning of the episode, I used to not have the correct words to properly express myself. And so I was just cruel to myself or mean to myself or overly judgmental to myself. But it was really, you don't know any other words. Yes. And so I'm just letting you know that if you still feel unhappy, there is something you can do. There is something you can try. And all I'm doing is hoping that this show is going to encourage you to keep trying to find something every day until you're good. And that's what healing is. That's all healing is. It's finding the tools that you need to be okay here. And sometimes it takes a while to find those things. Yeah. But I want to thank you so much for just coming through 2 days in a row. You have been on one of my client shows. Yeah. You're here. You're everywhere. And I'm just so proud of you. And I'm so happy for you. And I'm just so grateful for what it is that you do. And just, you know, being seen. Sometimes, you know, you're in a room with people and they're like normal and you feel like awkward because it's like, oh, you don't have the darkest humor. Oh, you don't. Oh, wow. That was inappropriate what I said, because I think it's okay. Like, in that.
And that's me. That's why sometimes I'll just get real quiet because I'm like, okay, Alicia, everyone can't take your humor. Yeah. Or everyone isn't traumatized like you. So keep your shit together. Everyone has not had your experiences. Calm down.
Yes. And so, you know, I'm always appreciative to see it in someone else. And it's just so crazy the way that we met. And shout out to Coriel.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey. Bringing people together. And, you know, just hell, two sentences in at the dinner table, you didn't transform my life. And I'm just so excited to keep working with you and talking with you and seeing all the things that you do. So please make sure that you tell everyone where they can find you and how we can support you and whatever else you want to leave us with.
Absolutely. So y'all can find me all over the interwebs at Alicia Reese. It's spelled A-L-E-C-H-I-A-R-E-E-S-E. My mother knew I was going to be unique. One of the most important things for me now, after going through as much as I've gone through, is what I have come to realize is the most important life decision you will ever make is who you decide to make your partner. And so what Danny and I have done on the Triggered AF podcast is we want to show people how to date well, to date more in alignment and intentional about what it is that you want in life. So you can visit datingwellaf.com. Trust me, it's some gems on there. It's really, really dope ebooks that show you how to find partners that align with the type of dater you are. And also some really, really dope coursework and programming classes, all the things. Trust me, check it out. It will change your life, the way you date and how you going about this whole dating experience. So yeah, stay connected there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And thank you guys so much. Please make sure that you continue to rate and review the podcast. Remember, I am an artist and I am sensitive about my shit. I do hear you. I do hear you. And I just hope that you guys took something from this. And I thank you guys for just, you know, always keeping a safe space for me. Please, if you feel it on your heart to support this show, costs $0 and 0 cents for you to chime in, for you to get your life on YouTube. The visuals are amazing. Check out this set. If you're shooting any content of any type, make sure you check us out on Instagram at SE Content House or SEmedia.group. And make sure that you support with the Patreon. Supporting the Patreon supports the creatives, all the creatives that are here, to give the guests a great experience and to, you know, really pull all this stuff together. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in. And I love you. And I will see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for making it to the end of this episode. Thank you for keeping an open mind and joining me in creating a safe place for others to share their truth. Make sure that you're following Not Just Another Sex Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. But also, if you want to keep the conversation going, make sure that you follow us on Instagram, Not Just Another Sex Pod, as well as sexual.essentials. Don't forget to sign up to my Patreon. The link is in the description of this episode. Not only do you get access to my personal life through my close friends and things like that, but I also have almost 300 classes, workshops, private group chats, hands-on demonstrations, interviews, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want more from me, then that's absolutely where you need to be. If you would like to support this podcast, make sure that you rate and review, and make sure that you share this episode with your family and friends. I'll see you next week.